Now, I'd like to wish you all, perhaps I will be the first, a very happy Christmas. Now, this is from a brand new CD. I've got a copy here in front of me from Charles Timberlake. Graduate of the BBC Radio Silent Carol concert. Is that the right way?
Yeah, that's what it was 2 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, when we had problems with the sound, do you remember? Nobody could hear me across the airways, I think.
We got there in the end. Charles, yeah. It's lovely to see you. Thanks for coming into the studio this week.
Not at all. May I add to your welcome back, Tim? I hope you had a good break.
Do you know, we had a very moving time, actually. We had a holiday, and then last Sunday, we went to the little Oxfordshire village where my wife's grandfather, who was killed at Arras in the First World War, is commemorated on the War Memorial.
Oh, gosh.
And it was incredibly moving. Thank you for that. Charles, this new CD, it's called A Glorious Light.
Yes.
It's Charles Timberlake and John Daniel.
Indeed.
So the old duo back together again.
Yeah, same old stuff.
it's not the same old stuff. This has been in production for quite a long time, hasn't it?
It has. It's been, I think it's over 2 years since we first thought about it. And can I just say to him what enormous fun we've had putting this together? We've had fun with all our musical writing over the years. But I think this one, because it held additional challenges, simply because there is so much Christmas music out there.
I was going to ask you about that, because I mean, looking down the Zoe Holy Night, Silent Night, In the Bleak Midwinter, Mary's Song, Ship's Medley, Away in a Manger, which on my spell checker always wants to get changed to Away in a Manager. But there we go. How did you choose them?
Well, I think initially we set about, deciding what we wanted to include, so then limiting it to traditional carols as opposed to more commercial Christmas songs, if you like. And then the next stage was obviously to decide which carols. The mood of the album, what we wanted to do with those carols, but also how we wanted it to come across. Now, John's always given me a relatively free rein over the years in the choice of material, and I think in this case he perhaps gave me more of a free rein by saying, well, Charles, see what you do. So, as you know, I love to sit down at the piano and mess around and doodle and things, so I would come up with playing a carol, and then I'd go, crazily go off into playing something else and something else. So, and then I found that, this was coming, really coming together with carols that were perhaps of a similar meter. It worked when we did Love Divine, All Loves Excelling on the previous album. It seemed to work very well. People really liked and enjoyed that. So we thought, well, why don't we try doing the same again? So then John, I would say to John, who of course, as you know, is, over in the States, I've put this together. I really don't know whether it works or not. He would very, very often come back and say, well, Charles, be as bold, try and be as creative as you can. So, for example, with Ding Dong, where I think we've got six carols strung together, haven't we? Or no, three carols with that one. Strung together, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a medley a little bit later on. I thought I'd play that in a few moments' time. Charles, one of the problems that I have with Christmas carols, I have to say, is that some of them are sort of sentimental pap, really, or at least some of the words in them, in my opinion. I hasten to add that. So, for instance, in Once in Royal David City, we get that verse, and through all his wondrous childhood, he would honour and obey, love and watch the holy maiden in whose gentle arms he lay. Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he. As though Jesus never got into trouble for skipping off when he should have been doing the washing up, or popping down to his father's shed and dropping his chisels on the floor and blunting them. Or Mary didn't, tell him off for not eating his cabbage or whatever it was in those days. How do you avoid sentimentality with Christmas?
I think that was going to be our take on it. I think we wanted our arrangements to be in keeping with our previous work, so with a kind of reflective quality. I think the beauty of this also is the fact that we haven't got words, that it is purely instrumental. But, having said that, Tim, the words are very powerful, and they actually do have meaning for quite a lot of people. And I think what we wanted to do, For me, with a song, it's always it's actually the tune that is, I hate to say it, more important than the words. And I think probably just because I probably have more of a musical ear than a lyrical ear. But so we didn't want to, we wanted to retain the spirit of Christmas through the tunes, perhaps rather than the words. So giving people the opportunity to sing along, and I think that's why, you know, we've always liked to include the words on the inside for people to sing along should they like to.
I mean, that's a really interesting point, because I mean, you're releasing this at much the same time as the Church of England has released its latest attendance figures, which continue to show a downward slide. But I mean, that's not entirely the point. And in fact, the diocese that we serve, Portsmouth, Salisbury and Winchester, are all seeing declining congregations. Stable are Coventry, Ripon and Leeds, and growing are Ely, Guildford, Leicester, London, Manchester and Newcastle. But we're in a falling area on the south coast as far as church attendance in the Church of England is concerned. But the one thing the Church of England finds is that Christmas is still very, very popular with people going to church. It's the big time of the year. Mm-hmm. Your comment about words and music, do you actually think that the music remains in people's minds long after they've forgotten the words, and actually it's that holds them?
I think it's the music that that stays in people's minds, yes, because I think the music, you know, music is incredibly powerful, isn't it? But yeah, I think you're right about, you know, attendance, and I think, you know, the Christmas services at St. Peter's in Titchfield, just from my own experience, is testimony to that. And that ties in a little bit with what you were talking about earlier on with Connie Fisher, with Songs of Praise, and kind of revamping that and wanting to perhaps just create a slightly different slant on what it means to be Christian and to go to church.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to play a little bit of the medley. Just tell us about this. It's the Holly and the Ivy medley. What have we got here?
One of the slightly more crazy ones. This is one.
We like crazy.
And you see, what I've always been very, very conscious of, Tim, is John's, you know, huge experience, his historically experience of arranging and producing. So this was, I think, one that I just put together, really, all, I won't say by accident, because that's and I shared it with John, and, you know, what do you think? And I think he tweaked it. He would add bits there. He would add the intros. He would add the links. The links between them are absolutely crucial. You've got to make sure that they're not too long, that it's a smooth link, so on and so forth. So I hope they all link together, and I hope that the tradition of the carols that we've just talked about is not lost, I think, in all of them.
You haven't been asleep for 6 weeks and woken up and it's Christmas. With me in the studio is a very good friend of BBC Radio Solent, Charles Timberlake. We love playing his music along with his, I was going to say co-conspirator, Charles. That's a bit unfair. John Daniels.
In crime.
And you work 3,000 miles apart.
Oh, it's been wonderful. They're 13 years, you know. Yeah, we've only met about 5 times, I think it is. We haven't even got an official photograph of the two of us together. Oh, dear.
Now, this is from your brand new CD, A Glorious Light. How can listeners get hold of this?
Local shops. Oasis Christian Centre in Romsey, Cornerstone Bookshop, Gosport, Livingstones in Boscombe, and Keith Jones, right in the centre of Bournemouth. Or mail order from me.
And it's a CD that does actually make you think. And you're performing tonight at St. Peter's Church in
Titchfield, my home church. And I can't wait, Tim. You know how much it means to me, because we've talked about that
seat
before. And of course, indeed, this is essentially the remainder of the last evening that I gave, Where Words Meet Notes, in June of last year, when a lady in the audience was taken ill. We were about halfway through the second half and had to call an ambulance and we had to halt the evening. So this is essentially the rest of that, plus a little bit more. Now, obviously, I had to make it appeal to people who were there, but also people who weren't there. So it's an hour and a quarter. We will have a comfort break halfway through, ladies and gentlemen. All my special guests returning. Poet Samantha Winrathach, the violinist Kathy Matthews, the music group from Shoreline Church in Stubbington, harpist Audrey Cameron Finnemore,
sets
the scene, mulled wine and mince pies afterwards, for music for a Sunday evening, for remembrance, but we're also going to have a lot of fun.
So what time is all of this, Charles?
6 o'clock.
Tonight, St. Petersfield.
Yep.
And where do people park for St. Peter's Church, Titchfield?
Well, parking in Titchfield is a little bit of a nightmare, isn't it? So park where you can, really, but nowhere near the church.
And is it free, or is there a fee?
£8 entry. All the profits going to the Friends of St. Peter's, so supporting the history, you know, supporting that wonderful church.
So that's 6 o'clock this evening, you and various friends performing at St. Peter's Church, Titchfield.
Indeed.
£8 towards the church.
Indeed.
Well, Charles, it's lovely to see you. I know you've
got a
busy week ahead, because you're supporting Naomi House as well.
Again,
a special service in Winchester Cathedral, but that's a sellout.
It is, yes, that was ticketed. That is their annual Light Up a Life memorial service. And I have the privilege, Tim, of playing and have written a composition for the middle section as the candles are being lit.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, look, Charles, it's been lovely to have you on the programme.
Thank you so much.